Let's bring John Molinaro, Sportsnet, in. Mr. Molinaro, you terrific work on the John Herdman story yesterday, by the way. John Herdman being named head coach of the men's soccer team. Of course, the, I guess, now erstwhile head coach of the Canadian women's program. I was a little surprised that Octavio Zambrano was an issue to begin with. Now, and admittedly, I don't travel in the same circles you do, certainly when it comes to soccer. But I'll ask you, first of all, what was the issue with Octavio Zambrano? Because I was under the impression that, you know, he'd gotten some players to commit to Canada. You know, things seemed to be moving in the right direction slowly, which is often the case in Canadian men's soccer. But what was the issue with Octavio Zambrano?
Well, I think some of the issues were, I mean, talking to some of the players, you know, including one yesterday, they weren't exactly thrilled with, you know, just training sessions and how he kind of put the team through his paces, through their paces. There was a sense within Canada soccer that, you know, the direction he was taking the team in wasn't necessarily the correct one. I think to a large extent, it was just a culture clash, right? I mean, Zambrano is very much his own person. And I think he wasn't, you know, necessarily, you know, the most political guy. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And,
See, you know, I want somebody like that because this is an association that quite often doesn't get it right. Like, I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. And, you know, that's part of this story. I think the larger part here, though, is, you know, they were scared that they were going to lose Herdman because, you know, I spoke to John last night and he told me he had a job offer from a men's pro team here in North America. He had a very substantial offer from a women's national program abroad, believed to be England. So, and he told Canada Soccer last year that, you know, after next year's World Cup, he was going to leave. That was going to be his last year with the women's team, and that he expressed interest in, you know, getting on the men's side, whether that would be, you know, within Canadian soccer or somewhere else. So he had laid the groundwork. So I think, and there was, as I said, I think there was just genuine fear that they were going to lose him. So I think the two, while no doubt, I think the Zambrano issues, if you want to call them, played a part. I think the larger issue here is that, you know, Herdman, they feared they were going to lose him, and to a certain extent, he sort of forced the issue here. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's funny because when that story happened, the Twitter follower retweeted a tweet I'd sent out after the games in London, which was purely tongue-in-cheek, and I just said, so when do we start considering John Herdman for the Canadian men's job? Now, that was the product. It was a product, quite honestly, of a long night of drinking with somebody from Canada Soccer after the loss to the United States in Manchester. But it was, you know, and subsequent to that, I've heard from other people that, you know, in fact, there's John, and this is nothing against John. He has kind of had. He's made that desire clear since even 2013 that, look, at some point, I'm going to be interested if the time is right in moving into this situation. You know, John's kind of at that, he's at that point right now professionally and chronologically where I can see him wanting that and wanting to make that move. And, you know, he's also, let's face it, he's not going to have Christine Sinclair around much longer either.
No, I think that's a valid point. I think the other thing to consider, too, is, you know, his stock has never been higher. I mean, he's coming off back-to-back Olympic bronze medals. The team is ranked fifth in the world. You know, God forbid that the team sort of, I mean, I think they're going to qualify for the World Cup next year, but God forbid if they don't, or if they do go and they don't sort of, you know, perform up to standards. You know, then what? And then I think his value comes, you know, down a little bit. So I think he was playing the long game here. I think he understood that his value was never more higher than it was ever going to be. Saw the opportunity and he took it. You can't really fault him for that. I mean, he's been with the program for 6-7 years now. Talking to him yesterday, you know, it sounded like, and, you know, he just wanted a new challenge, that this experience with the women's team, had just run its course, that there was nothing really left challenging for him to do, and that he wanted to move on. And, you know, fair play to him. We all have sort of ambitions to do other things, so you can't really fault him for that.
He has also been named men's Excel director. And, you know, one of the things, and I know you've spoken to John at length as well, but one of the things I remember from talking to John at the Olympics in London, I remember we had a coffee after it was over, and he started talking about sort of the geographical challenges of identifying players in Canada. And I came away thinking, you know what, this is a guy who, yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole understanding the Canadian psyche, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. I think John Herdman understands the logistics of trying to make a successful soccer program work in a country where there are huge, great, wide swaths of the country. You know, if there's a great soccer player right now in Flin Flon, Manitoba, it is going to be freaking hard to find that person. And I think John, you know what I mean? John understands the challenges that geography presents Canada. And he's also, the other thing I think, and you touched on this in your story as well, if you're looking at being part of hosting a World Cup, I think he's got kind of an international cachet that he might be able to help in that area as well. He gives you a little bit of credibility, I think, on the international platform, especially in Europe.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to your first point about, you know, player development and identifying players, I think that's probably been one of his strongest suits with the women's team. I mean, he is, you know, people think he's just the women's coach. Well, he was just the women's coach. That's not true. He was in charge of the entire program from youth to senior team level, and that's the same role he's going to take with the men's team. So he had a direct hand in identifying young women players, developing them all the way through the youth teams until they graduated to the senior side. So, you know, I think to a large extent too, I mean, that's why, you know, the Canada Soccer considered him for the job too, because I think they need someone like that. Obviously someone like Jason DeVos has had a big hand in mm-hmm. you know, hopes to have a big hand in player development. But, you know, the hope here is that John can sort of wield some of the magic that he had on the women's side with the men's side. And Lord knows the men's side, you know, program needs all the help they can get. So if John can accomplish even, you know, a percentage of what he did with the women's team with the men, then God bless.
I understand. Obviously, tactics and strategy depend on the talent you have. But from a stylistic point of view, 6 years down the road, 5 years down the road, what type of game do you think the Canadian men will be playing? Would it be any different? I understand this is really hypothetical, but it would be would it be any different under John Herdman compared to Octavio Zambrano?
I think the basic sort of template will be the same. I mean, certainly focused on attacking football and you know, building out from the back and, you know, possession based and really, you know, taking it to the opponent as opposed to, you know, being reactive. I think that's sort of long been John's MO with the national women's team. Probably the only thing, the major difference I think would be just a more focus on a little bit, you know, marrying those sort of concepts to being defensively solid. Not that I think Zambrano's team was reckless or anything like that, far mm-hmm. from it, but I think John will be a little bit more pragmatic in his approach. That's also been his sort of MO with the women's national team. So for me, that'll be sort of the biggest difference. But I mean, again, it's all conjecture. I mean, it all depends on the players that are going to be available to him and the situation. So it'll just be interesting to see how it plays out.
One of the things that interests me here as well is, you know, Victor Montaliani, when he sort of, you know, moved on to his current position, I think a lot of people looked at Octavio Zambrano as kind of, you know, it was, I wouldn't say it was going to be part of his legacy. Well, yeah, it was going to be part of his legacy. You know, he had to get this right. He wanted to get this right. What does this say about, does it say anything at all about Victor and about that decision? Or as you've suggested, is this as much, you know, well, you've said it's more John Herdman than it is Octavio Zambrano, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, does it sort of tarnish Montagliani's, you know, legacy? I don't think so. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that this looks bad on Canada soccer. I mean, they only hired Zambrano in March to great fanfare. And the expectation was that, you know, this was going to be a guy who could, you know, not only bring credibility to the program, but, you know, help turn things around. And, you know, firing him, you know, less than a year on the job, you know, the optics of that don't look very good. And, you know, that I think in some way it probably reflects poorly on Montagliani. But, you know, in terms of what Montagliani has done for the greater good of Canada, I think that has to be taken into consideration. I don't see this hurting that legacy, you know, that much.
What do we know about about John Herdman's replacement as a Canadian women's coach? Because it is funny, you know, I was kind of chuckling about this. I don't know how many countries, you know, where the naming of the Canadian or the naming of the men's national coach is kind of followed immediately by whither the women's program. No disrespect to the women's program, but you know what I mean? That's shows you how far ahead the women's program is in the public mind right now. Compared to the men's program. But what do we know about John Herdman's replacement and the impact that will have on a program that's one of our most successful international programs in any sport?
Yeah, so John's replacement is a guy named Kenneth Heiner Moeller, and he's been John's assistant coach since 2015. He previously coached Denmark's women's team from 2006 to 2013, and he led Denmark to the World Cup in China in 2007 and to a third place finish at the Women's European Championships, I think 4 years ago. But, you know, speaking to John yesterday, it was clear that he wasn't going to leave without a clear transition, you know, plan in place. And, you know, part of that was, you know, this had been in the works. Obviously, it came together, you know, within the last month and a half, but I think John was kind of thinking about this, you know, in the back of his mind. So, you know, that's to a large extent, I think, why he brought in Kenneth, you know, back in 2015 and was kind of grooming him for this spot. So, you know, the hope is that the transition will be pretty seamless. You know, it should be noted that the women have to play a qualifying tournament for the World Cup come October. So, you know, I don't think there's any question that this is going to cause a disruption. That being said, you know, you have to think that ranked fifth in the world, three teams automatically qualify out of CONCACAF, and the fourth place team still, you know, advances to a playoff where they'll play the third place team from South America. So, you know, I don't suspect that this is going to hurt their chances of qualifying for the World Cup. I think the bigger question is, you know, what kind of ramifications will just have for the program in the long term and what kind of both tactical and just organizational imprint, you know, Heiner Moeller will put on the Canadian women's team going forward.
Does it worry you at all, John, that the reaction from members of the women's program was absolute shock? Like, I understand a move like this, it came as a surprise to a lot of people. So it's pretty clear, I think, that, you know, the final decision was kept under wraps. But, you know, I think a lot of people would look at Christine Sinclair and say she should have been given a heads up by John Herdman. I don't necessarily buy that, but, I mean, that's going to be part of the thought process. Does that concern you at all that there was so much that this just appeared to blindside the women's players themselves?
A little bit. I mean, you do think that, you know, considering everything Sinclair has meant to the program and some of the veterans also like Diana Matheson and McLeod, that, you know, he would have probably, you know, maybe should have given them a heads up. I can say this, that, I mean, you know, the Canada Soccer wasn't going to announce this until Friday. Mm-hmm. But then obviously I got wind of it. And so the story was going to break. So this kind of caught them a little bit off guard, and they were kind of, you know, scrambling to get their PR ducks in a row, so to speak.
Right.
I spoke to John last night, and then as soon as I got off the phone with him, he then spoke to Sinclair and the players. So, you know, they did find out before the news broke and before the news was announced by the CSA. So they didn't learn about it by social media or on Twitter, as some suggested. But yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that this still came as a shock to them. And should they have been given at least a heads up that this was in the works, you know, you can certainly make an argument for that.